Cool. Count us off, bro.
3, 2, 1.
My brother Brendan, he's got depression. This is the story why.
Brendo! Brendo!
My brother Carson on bass guitar, and he's a funny guy.
Carson! Carson!
Unmissing person, name of our show. Unmissing person, that's what happened to my bro. Hey, good enough, right? Live intro music? Well, how many podcasts have that?
A few.
Name them.
I don't know.
There you go.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Carson Crashly, but we are related.
And
this is Radio Brendo Man, Unmissing Person, Chapter 2.
Appetite for Depression.
Appetite for Depression. Why is it called that?
Because I was depressed in the early 90s listening to a lot of Guns N' Roses.
No, that makes sense.
Even though Appetite for Destruction came out in the 80s.
Okay, thanks, stat guy. But this is chapter two, so we just finished chapter one. One sentence recap of chapter one.
I wanted to kill myself, and I was living in my car, and
Home is Where the Prius Is, another cool title.
Yeah, and you reported me missing.
That's right.
And then I decided not to kill myself.
So when we last left Brendo, he had stepped out of the Prius, gone to his friend Keith's house. Shout out to Keith, life-saving Keith, and showed up and was, what was that like when you got to Keith's house?
Well, I was just pretty spent.
Pretty spent, and Keith is like, I'm going to make you an egg sandwich.
And gave me some water, because I hadn't had anything to drink in like over a day.
Wow. So that was chapter one, and now we're going to, you know, if this was like a screenplay... You know, it's like, you're at Keith's house, you take a deep sigh, and like maybe you have like a 10,000-yard stare, and some soft music comes up, and it's, uh-oh, we're going back in time. Music fades up from Appetite of Depression. Welcome to the jungle. Zoom in, young Brendo. What's he doing in 92? What's he all about?
He's about getting his ass kicked in junior high school.
No way.
And
you bullied?
Yeah.
When did this start?
Well, it was happening in elementary school. It got really bad in like sixth grade. Sixth grade was like a low point for me.
Are you telling me?
I was an emotional mess.
That a heavier milkshake, redheaded, huge, thick glasses wearing, freckled dude was getting bullied in San Diego in the late 80s and early 90s.
I also had cerebral palsy.
And asthma.
And asthma.
Was in band.
In band. I was a band kid.
Had PE. Had segregated PE at various points.
Yeah.
You telling me you got bullied?
Yeah, it was... It was pretty rough.
How'd you deal?
I retreated to movies and wrestling and nerd shit.
But, like, not... This was before the rise of the nerds.
Yeah.
This is where you hear, like, nerds now are like, you nerds have it so easy with your communities and, you know, access to online friends and information. We put your necks on the line for your nerddom.
Yeah. It was rough. I remember one day in seventh grade, a kid came up to me. He's like, hey, you like Saved by the Bell? It's great, huh? I'm like, yeah, I love Saved by the Bell. It's my favorite show. He's like, Saved by the Bell sucks. He just punched me.
That dude, asshole. Like, he probably has like a box set now, DVDs of Saved by the Bell. He probably used talking about Saved by the Bell to seduce someone in his 20s.
Yeah, probably.
I remember, going back to the nerddom, you stand hard for the MMC.
Yeah.
Which is?
Mickey Mouse Club.
Are you down with the MMC? Yeah, you know me. Yeah. And you had where did you get it from? It was like, it wasn't like you couldn't just go online and find things, but you wanted and eventually obtained like a Letterman's denim jacket-ish.
Well, I wanted the Mickey Mouse Club jacket. That was like the thing I begged for forever. And Mom found a, God bless Mom, she's great.
Shout out to Mom. Mom found a
fear jacket that looked like the Mickey Mouse Club jacket.
But that makes it even cooler.
Except the first day I wore it to school, somebody wrote...
The first day.
First day.
Unboxed it, loved it.
Somebody wrote in pen, faggot,
whoa,
on the back.
We don't approve that language, but that happened to my bro.
But Mom washed it out. Mom had to wash it. I had to come home and show that to Mom and see if she could wash it out.
Man, I forgot that was what they put on it. Maybe the guys didn't tell me.
Yeah, man.
Ugh, this was 1992.
So I never wore that jacket to school again until my junior year of high school when I lost a bunch of weight. And I was like, I'm going to rock this jacket.
A jacket in middle school fits you? Yeah, I remember that. We'd go to eight. Oh, yeah, the Fen-Phen.
I was on Fen-Phen, and so I lost a bunch of weight, and I'm like, Fen-Phen, I think this jacket fits me again.
Sounds like a cute euphemism for an amphetamine. It is, and it helps you lose weight.
And I think Mom wears it now.
Mom has the No Fear MMC jacket?
She did have it. She has my Letterman's jacket, my real Letterman's jacket.
So it's 92. You're getting it rough.
I had two friends, though, so that was a plus.
You had Sean and Tim?
Sean and Tim.
Tell us about Sean.
Well, Sean was like the criminal kid that nobody, that like your parents wouldn't let you hang out with.
No, and for good reason. No, he came over to our house one time. Was Sean there when we were throwing knives?
Yeah, but it was Lee that had the throwing knives.
But it was like he was our connection to the kid that had throwing knives.
Yeah.
And who else was there? Well, Lee was the kid who
killed his parents later on in life.
Yeah, so Brendo's friend Sean invited to our home this kid Lee, and the one time he came to our house, he came with
throwing knives,
and we
threw knives in the backyard.
We threw, and how old were we? I was in fifth grade.
I was in like this was sixth grade.
All right,
so you were in fourth grade.
Didn't have a hair on our nuts, and we're throwing knives with a future patricidal delinquent.
Yeah.
Patricide and matricide. What is it called when you do both of them?
It was his stepdad and his mom.
Anyway, yeah, so 92. We're surrounded by darkness and knives.
I'll never forget the day I came downstairs and you were like, hey, remember your friend Lee? Look at this! And he just threw the paper on the table. It was like on the newspaper.
Wow, I had a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
Just like, I got receipts on your... on your shitty friend. Well, they were good friends. So you can be a shitty person.
Lee was a weirdo from the beginning, man. Yeah. Like, weirdo from the beginning. He was so weird. Sean and I stopped hanging out with him. Like, that's how fucked up. Like, too weird for Sean.
But Sean was one of your two friends.
Yeah. Sean came from a rough family. But he was my friend since second grade. We met in second grade.
Scouts, or just school?
Just school. Didn't get into scouts. He helped me. He got me into scouts because his mom was the den mom.
That's right. Jeannie.
Yeah.
And he had his sister, Nicole.
Yeah.
And one of the worst dogs I've ever met in my life. It looked like one of those black licorice terrier.
Oh. Yeah.
Smelled like a dirty dog, barked like a big dog. It was a yapper. Remember, first time I ever seen boxed wine in a fridge. Wouldn't Sean, he would go like Wheeze the Juice style on the boxed wine.
Yeah.
He was like probably the first kid who I've seen drink alcohol. Just went inverted on a Franzia bag in the fridge. Yeah, that was crazy. It was a crazy time.
And he had like fireworks. He was the kid that had fireworks. He was the kid that messed around with drugs.
This is Sean Meadows. You're at the Boys and Girls Club.
You have to say his last name.
Sorry.
Protect.
I mean, it's not his real name. It was a made-up name. He was the kid who, like, the shady ice cream man that sold under-the-counter stuff would, like, pull... He got a knife.
Okay. The Boys and Girls... The ice cream man at the Boys and Girls Club pulled a machete on Sean.
A machete.
So, but then Chris, the Boys and Girls Club guy, found out and was like, never come back here again. So then the ice cream man didn't come back
again. That's right. So Danny Trejo left the ice cream man business, and that's how he got into Hollywood.
And we, but I was just, we were all pissed.
Danny Trejo's machete. That's what I was going for. Thanks for acknowledging that, Brendo.
We were all pissed because the boys and girls, the ice cream man stopped coming.
Yeah, but when you're broke, it's like, good. Another thing that I don't have money for to pay.
But I think that was the advent of the Boys and Girls Club snack shop.
Right.
So they had their own, sold their own snacks and stuff.
Microwave pretzels, Jolly Ranchers.
Star Crunches.
Remember the full-size Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah, do they even make those anymore?
No, because you could like suck them down into prison
shanks. Turn them into a shank.
They're dangerous.
They would cut up your tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's nothing like a full-size Sour Apple Jolly Rancher.
Mm. Sour Apple Jolly Rancher playing the Goonies arcade game with the digitized Goonies
soundtrack. Did anybody get to the second level of the Goonies?
It had a lot of cool power-ups. You get like a helmet and stuff. Anyway.
Not to be confused with Goonies 2, which is another crazy game.
There's Goonies going on. There's companionship through band. But this is where you're...
Well, I had like, those are my safe spaces were like band, Boys and Girls Club, Sean and Tim. And Tim was like a year older than me. We also met in second grade. And
the Carrolls, two brothers.
They lived down
the street. Three brothers total.
We ended up moving and we lived down the street, right up the street from them in the next cul-de-sac over. And they had an awesome pool.
Black Bottom Pool.
It was like a tropical lagoon theme with like diving platforms and a waterfall
out the top. And it was amazing.
You should see it. The lake, they made it even better. They took out the water slide.
They had banana trees. They had strawberries. I remember picking a strawberry. They had a pit.
They had a macadamia nut tree.
Yeah. Macadamia nuts. Tough nuts to crack.
You had to use a vice.
Yeah, a vice. Not Miami vice. Not a Miamian vice. A macadamia vice.
But I mean, so there was good. I mean, the good memories of all that shit. But then I'd go to school and just be tormented by kids and just dealing with, and like sixth grade is when I started noticing just this present sadness. Like I'd just be sad all the time. I'd have sad dreams. Be sad.
Did you have any concept of like, you know, did you be like, I must be one of these depressed people that I've heard.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know about depression or any of that until seventh grade. I started writing these poems.
Uh-oh.
You had me write a sample.
Yeah, I wanted you to revisit your poems
wish I still had them. I wish I had these. I had these journals.
Heavily inspired by Guns N' Roses. Well,
sometimes outright stealing Guns N' Roses lyrics or...
Well, I mean, everybody does that to find their voice. Every poet does that. Even comedians. It's like, people are like, when comedians start, it's like, oh my goodness, this is a, you can trace like their origin, the comedians that like made them want to get into it. Like, you gotta stay away from some of the Mitch Hedberg ones. Those are sad dudes. Comedians who idolize, well, he's a good one, but not everyone's a great joke writer. Or the Doug Stanhope. The dudes that are like, Doug Stanhope's the best. And they can be awesome, but it's a tightrope. Or the Jezelniks, the like, I'm going to, if it's a topic that people say is taboo, that I shouldn't make a joke about incest, I'm going to open with incest. I'm like, ugh. You know, have your heroes, but I don't know, be careful. But when it comes to the inspiration, the poets that fueled your dark demons, you would say Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
No, okay.
Didn't
you get into any of like the peppy stuff? Like CNC
Music Factory? I was
into CNC
Music Factory, Paula Abdul.
Yeah, there's good stuff. You found a kinship with...
I love the dark shit. And then, like, I got into, like, White Zombie and metal, Megadeth.
So maybe Tipper Gore was right, and this music is bad and should be burned.
It was an escape for me.
Kept you alive.
Kept me going.
Yeah. Well, I would.
But I mean, there's the whole thing like in High Fidelity. Do I listen to sad, depressing music because I'm sad and depressed, or am I sad and depressed so I listen to sad and depressing?
Yeah, it's good to have it there because it makes you feel like, well, obviously I'm not alone in this because someone's putting eloquence to it.
Yeah, man. I mean, Kurt Cobain was the voice of all that shit. So you made me write.
I didn't make you do anything. Okay. I said I would love.
You said you're gonna do it too.
Yeah. I said I will bring. I will. We'll get to my poetry. And I say poetry with italics
because mine's see. Well, not like mine's. I came up with this.
Enough with the teasing. Give us the verses. Give us those bars.
I was trying to recreate because there's gone. The
what
shit
would
is
you
gone.
Write it in?
It was like one of those Mead notebooks.
Okay. Not a Trapper Keeper.
Trapper Oops. Keepers were not cool in junior high. I found that out the hard way. They were like, yeah, no, the things that were cool in 7th and 8th grade were those blue cloth bound, those blue cloth notebooks.
Oh, the 5-star.
Like,
that had the Velcro?
No. Just a cloth binder.
Oh, yeah. I had those.
Like a cloth binder, blue cloth, and you would write shit on the
but
blue.
But it'd be bumpy.
Yeah, but you would write shit on the. Like, I remember very clearly having the guy that could really do it draw the Stussy S on my notebook.
No, I remember getting one of those, and I drew Spider-Man carrying a kid because I was in Mr. Weber's class.
Yeah.
And it was a good Spider-Man because I was a talented...
Weber, I get it.
...comic book artist in my day.
Did you show that to him? Did you think it was funny?
Man... I'm sure he did. He was a good guy.
You were a very talented artist as a kid.
And I had never got better.
Did you just give up?
I peaked in 7th grade.
Did you
won the
class?
Santa Fe Christian Middle School Art Award, Best Art Student. It was like, I hang it up. It doesn't get... I mean, after you won Santa Fe Christian Middle School's Most Outstanding Art Student, where do you go
Man,
from
you
there?
Could have become one of those art kids.
I am one of those art kids. It's just my art is... My life.
Like, you didn't take art at Torrey Pines?
I took performing art. I took drama. Became a drama kid.
Yeah. But you didn't even do that right away.
I took the class right away, got scared away, and then rejoined my senior year for a victory lap. And I also won an award for that.
I remember going to a play your senior year.
The musical? Or
Sweet Charity.
Oh, yeah. I played Hobo Panhandler number 2. But... If you're in high school, do a musical. Cast parties will be great because they're big. And there's lots of gals who do musicals.
Yeah.
I mean, the musical scene, the children's musical scene of San Diego produced a lot of top-tier talent. Michelle Williams with CYT.
Bridget
Regan, who went on to, what was that?
Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Well, she was on the Wizards. What was the Wizards' First Rule show? Whatever that was called.
Yeah. Also lived down the street between us and the Carols.
Yeah.
We would play handball with her older sister. Bridget didn't like to hang much.
No,
she was too busy working on her singing songs.
Yeah, Aaron was cool.
Aaron was dope.
She was really tall.
Yeah.
She was in track and field. I remember the last time I saw her was. Tracking, we were Santa Fe. We didn't have a track, so we would practice at San Diego track.
Brendan, enough with this high school track. You're trying to distract us from your poetry.
I don't want to read this poem.
Get there.
All right. I just came up with this. It's really shitty.
No, but this was like you trying to recapture. So it's you're probably revisiting.
Well, I remember one verse, and I took that, and I kind of tried to write something. And the ending is not good. All right. Here
I'll
we
be
go.
The judge of that.
Oh, God. It's because I made it rhyme. I stand outside the garden, feeling only pain. Loneliness consumes me in the cold November rain. Standing outside the garden, walking along the wall, feeling only darkness inside the stormy squall.
You can see the obvious Guns N' Roses influence, Sweet Child of Mine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. A cold November rain. Yeah, pain.
Well, there was also a song called Outside the Garden.
You were so close to capturing one of the best rap lyrics of all time, Eminem's, I guess that's why they call it Window Pane. You were right there.
Well, I'd just write all this shit. Or I'd write shit about this girl that I liked.
Wait, this girl you liked?
Yeah.
But I thought you weren't into girls.
I was still very confused.
Obviously. Was this a... Which girl was this?
This girl named Bianca.
Oh. I take it from the name Bianca, she was a Richie Rich girl.
Yeah.
That was a total guess. Was she like one of those like rancho kids? What was her deal?
I don't know. I don't know where she lived, but she was definitely like an uppity.
Uppity?
She was in my honors English class. Oh. And she was in band. She played the flute.
Oof. Flute. Yeah. Travels well.
But I made her life horrible, like, because I was all weird and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for her.
Because, well, I mean...
I shouldn't need some spazzo like me, you know?
No, if, like, you can have feelings for people, and you don't have to feel bad for having feelings.
Yeah, but expressing those feelings in weird ways...
How did you express them to Bianca? Did you give her your poems?
Some, like, I think I inadvertently she read them, like, somehow.
How does this
someone
happen?
Stole my notebook during band
One
practice.
Of your friends?
Well,
how does your secret poems end up in the hands or...
Somebody stole my notebook.
Somebody who knew you had poems?
Somebody just stole my notebook and then they read it.
Like a little brother? I didn't know these poems existed.
Well, so somebody found them. And then I also had a diary, which my bright idea was for if she read the diary, maybe she would feel like, maybe she'd be like, oh, Brendan's such a good guy. So I left the diary in the band room. And,
ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, well, then Sean read it, like, in front of the whole school.
Your friend, Sean.
Well, I thought... I told
who is
him,
a friend of child murderers, Sean. Not the guy I'd want my diary in.
Well, I had told him to read it to her. I don't know what I was thinking. But he read it in goodness. Front of a bunch of people. So other people
so
were
he
like...
So he had your solid. Was he willing to?
Yeah.
Did he know it was going to be a train wreck?
I don't know.
Was he like, bro, this is it. She's going to read these. She's going to fall in love. And the 8th grade dance, you're going to slow dance to Red, Red Wine, and it's going to be great.
No, I don't know. He was just along for the ride. And so I ended up reading him, but like a bunch of people heard it. Read my diary. And so like, I remember this one asshole like reciting it during English class to me.
Wait. He recited it? So he had committed it to memory?
He'd remembered a couple things, yeah.
It must have been good. Well, that's why you shouldn't have made it rhyme. Because if you
no,
make
this
it
wasn't,
rhyme...
This wasn't the poems. This
no,
was just
this
shit
is
from my diary.
This is your prose, not your poetry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But think of that. Someone memorized your diary. This is the stuff you would see in like a Disney like family movie. And you're like, nah, kids don't do that. That doesn't happen, but...
This was the same kid that broke my glasses.
Oh, my God. So...
He was a little shrimp, too. I don't know why I didn't kick his ass. I could have kicked his ass. Like, looking back at it, I could have kicked David's ass. David Dennis. I'll name his name. I could have kicked his little ass.
Come at us, David. I remember that kid.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
I think he was, like, president of the school at LCC. He became really popular in high school. He's still a little shithead.
We're not violent folk.
I'm getting heated here.
But violence is not your way.
I know. I think I only threw a punch a couple times in junior high, but that was to defend myself.
Violence is not the way of the Brendo.
I punched out a dude who attacked me with a knife.
This was Oak Crest.
Yeah, when I got to junior high.
Or as the locals call it, Butt Crust.
Yeah. What a shit show, man.
Yeah.
So I was, like, down on the field, like, the lower field, because I was, like, really slow, and I was, like, walking, and he, like, waited for me, and...
With a knife.
Yeah, and this was a gang member. I'd run afoul of a gang.
Oh, what was the name of the
E-N-C.
gang? E-N-C. Eden Gardens.
No,
right?
That's Solana Beach. Oh. This was E-N-C, the Encinitas gang.
Sorry, I get my SoCal Surf City gangs
E-G
mixed up.
Was Solana Beach.
There we go. But it was serious because they scared the because they when sixth grade and this was like 7th and 8th grade was middle school. In 6th grade, like, right before, like, you know, finished, they would usually, like, bring someone to your class who was, like, older or just, like, a cop and be, like, tell you about, like, okay, next year, middle school, you're going to be going through some changes. Namely, some of them are, you know, physical, but also gangs. And they would, like, scare you with these stories of, like, gang fights and, like, oh, my goodness.
There were fucking gang fights.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And somehow I ran afoul of this gang, which was a largely Hispanic gang. And,
were they mad at you that, you know...
I don't fucking know.
Were they like, you know, heartfelt writings are our thing. And we're the sensitive, you know, lovers of this crew. And we can't have another sensitive boy out there. There can be only one.
Yeah, that's definitely it. This guy pulled a knife on me and I just remember seeing red and just I decked him, punched him right in the jaw. And ran away, and
one
then the
punch
managed to get an adult.
You hitting the floor.
But he didn't get expelled because he was back in band.
Wait, the guy that pulled a knife on you was in band?
Yeah.
What did he play? He's probably percussion.
Yeah.
How did I know that the violent one was a percussion?
It was like the violent kids and the surfer kids were skater kids. Surfer and skater kids were the drummers.
So it's 92. You're sad. You're writing poems.
Yeah, and then mom found my journal.
Uh-oh.
And that's the first time I took me to see a therapist.
What do you think drove Gail or mom?
Oh, the other thing that happened was I think I told Tim that I wanted to kill myself.
And this is the first time?
The first time suicide ever like became a topic, but I definitely had feeling like that was I remember just being on the bus and talking to Tim and be like, man, some days I just want to end my life, and I told that to Tim, just frank it up. Like,
how did sensitive Tim?
Tim freaked out and told his mom, so his mom calls mom,
the old mom to mom,
and between that and the journals,
so mom read your journals.
Yeah, and dad told me later.
We switched calling them your diary. They're now journals now.
Yeah.
But they're still your diary.
Yeah, but dad played it down, but mom was freaking out.
Well, I think mom had reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good parenting. Like, that's good friends. Like, friends, one, you should be able to tell your friends at any age, you know, that you're sad. And two, if, you know, a friend of yours, if you feel that, you know, hey, I think, you know, my buddy here, my band bro, is, you know, going to hang himself with his saxophone cord because the band found all his love poems and Sean Meadows read them in front of class, you know, you should feel okay, you know, letting an authority figure, a parent or someone else, you know, who can intervene, you know, have that space. That's fine.
So that's when I go with mom to the therapist, and it was a lady, and talk about
what does a lady therapist in 1992 in San Diego, like, where's the office? Is she, like, a new agey? What is she? What's her deal?
It was, like, I think it was, like, in La Jolla.
Oh, nice. Spare no expense.
Yeah, and she was, like, a very scholarly lady, I remember. She reminded me of my 9th grade biology teacher.
That's who I want to talk to my feelings with, my 9th grade biology teacher, Isla Cordelay. What was that session like?
Well, it was with mom the whole time.
So mom was there the whole time?
The first time, yeah.
I guess that's normal.
And I just talked about feeling sad and getting bullied and feeling suicidal.
How many times did you end up seeing this one?
Not that many, but I remember that's the first time I got prescribed medication.
Already in middle school?
Yeah. So I was on Zoloft.
You were on Zoloft before our dad died?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Did I know this?
I don't know. Because I was seeing a therapist, because then in eighth grade, mom and dad split up again in eighth grade.
Yeah, so you're being bullied, parents are splitting up, you're a teenager whose brain's
not to mention just going through puberty and just dealing with all that.
I mean, Zoloft, I don't know how old of a drug is, but to be giving it, I mean, obviously, it's got to be crazy because his kids' brains are still firing.
Well, they found out later that, like, antidepressants can make things worse for teenagers. But it worked for me. It definitely worked for a bit.
You're getting better. There are exciting things happening, you know, in the early 90s. You know, Bruce Willis is just on a tear. He's got multiple earring pierced in one ear. He's in Hudson Hawk.
We were lucky enough to have a dad that would take us to the R-rated action movies.
Oh, yeah. I had friends who couldn't go see PG-13 movies. Michael F.
And we were like, T2 in the theater. Saw Die Hard.
92. Last of the Mohicans. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Last of the Mohicans.
Changed my life.
In the theater.
I left that movie and I was like, that's it. I'm going to be a pre-revolutionary U.S. history scholar. I'm going to learn all about all. And I loved it.
I remember I wanted to be a historian from seeing like that and Glory.
I'll be like, crazy Grandpa Carson. Tell me more of your crazy stuff. But he had primary sources.
What about the Robin Hood one?
But, I mean, Last of the Mohicans. Oh, our grandpa has a theory that our family is the Robin Hood legend is based off of family. But he's also crazy. He thinks the Communist Party infiltrated America in the election where Abraham Lincoln got elected. There are probably a whole bunch of people that are like, he's right. Maybe he was ahead of his time.
He also once told me he invented Cinco de Mayo.
He once told me he invented mochas because we put hot chocolate in a coffee. I'm like, dude, everyone does that. No, that's like no one gets to claim they invented mochas. Now, whoever invented the Mexican mocha, kudos. I had one yesterday.
But our dad was awesome. Took us to movies all the time.
Yeah, so you're being treated for depression. Parents are separated. Dad's awesome. Dad's keeping you.
Well, Dad would drive and pick me up, take me to school every day.
Yeah.
Didn't have to ride the bus. No bus for Brendo, because in the morning, I took the bus home. Because morning bus was scary, because I would get bullied at the bus stop, because our school system was fucked up. There in San Dieguito, in this is so Southern California, but it's in some places. Junior high school was 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
You had freshmen, high school freshmen, already gone through puberty with seventh graders.
Some people have gone through puberty in fifth grade.
Yeah, but like having high school freshmen mixing with seventh graders was kind of fuck that guy that came up with that idea. Because those high school freshmen would, like, beat us up.
Ouch.
And they would be like, then they would, like, I remember they would harass us at the bus stop. I forgot, they were like, and these are guys that I've been dealing with since elementary school.
Yeah.
And now they're big, like, big guys.
They got a season of freshman football under weight training under their belts.
Yeah.
They're firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Well, I mean, so this is, you know, Batman Returns, loved it. That came out. Dad took us to that.
I saw that on my sixth grade graduation because I was wearing my sixth grade graduation pin button to the movie theater.
It's a good one.
And the lady at the movie was like, oh, congratulations, class of 92. It was class of 92. And
there you go.
She's like, you're pretty young for a high schooler. I was like,
But
and then those McDonald's cups, the McDonald's Batman Returns cups that had the Frisbee top, it was a Frisbee.
It was a bat disc. Frisbee is a registered trademark, but a bat disc, now that's a marketable. And then 93 rolls around.
Yeah.
Eighth grade now?
Well, seventh, eighth grade.
Seventh, eighth grade. And November.
13 years old.
I remember this morning, because I remember, like, I'd be up when you were up. I'd watch, like, It was great. I had this great system for homework. I would not do it until the morning of.
Because
elementary school started so much later, but Brenda would be up. And I think it was like, well, I want to get a shower in before my brother gets in there and gets his business. So I'd be up. I'd watch SportsCenter. And then I would do my homework. And then Dad would come pick Brenda up. And I remember one morning, specifically, I guess, cool, I get to say goodbye to my dad. But one morning, I was running late. And I remember that, like, you know, Brenda's up, you know, Dad's here, I'm upstairs, and, oh, I'm too late to go downstairs and say goodbye to my dad, which I like doing, because they were separate at the time. I remember our wooden door closed, and I was like, well, bye, Dad, through the door. And I'm like, I hope I hear him say goodbye, because that was, you know, that was the afternoon that, well, jogging on his lunch break, downtown San Diego on Harbor Boulevard, a taxi cab ran a red light and struck Carson Henry Creasy III, and now this bullied poet, musician, on antidepressants, who had an amazing dad, is fatherless. That was the day our dad died.
Yeah.
What does that do for a depressed teenager?
Fucking sends me to the edge. Because I was like, if this, like, after that, I was like, that's fucking it. I'll never, that day was crazy, because I remember we went to
Burger King. And I bullied you.
You made fun of me because if you take it out, if you take the context away, it was a pretty ridiculous thing.
I told this story for years until, like, you know, literally, like, you know, a decade later, my brother's like, you know what day that happened on, right? And I was like, oh, but it was so funny because what happened?
Now? I tripped over a speed bump.
Walking into Vaughn's, and he trips over a speed bump. But, like, you know, he's a big dude, and he falls, and, you know, when a big tree falls, it hurts. So he's, like, pissed. But I'm just like, I can't. I'm your younger brother. You trip. I'm just like, dude, you tripped on a speed bump.
And
at that same moment, our dad's in the hospital slowly dying from...
So we didn't know any of this was going on, because what happened was when he didn't come back from work, the secretary at his work went...
By the way, don't try so hard. If he's not working out on his lunch break, he's still alive. So that's why I don't run.
Went and called the hospitals.
Didn't have his ID on him. Yeah, so he didn't come back, and we got dinner after Vaughn's at the Burger King.
The Burger King, and remember, we got it to go, and we get home, and there's a message on the answering machine that there's been an accident, and need to call. And Mom was so out of sorts, she couldn't drive, so her friend came over and drove us to the hospital. I remember this very clearly. I took the food, and I threw it in the trash.
I remember this distinctly. I remember telling this story to my acting class the summer I did an intensive with the faculty from the Moscow Arts Theater School in Russia. It was amazing. Like, they told the class, like, you know, it was like for day one, like, everyone, and there's like 40 of us, just tell a story that, like, is a signature moment of your life. And I told this story, and I remember when they, you know, I remember about it is I'm in sixth grade. I'm at this age, you know, I got an older brother who's, like, you know, growing up. And this is Burger King in the 90s. They got a great kids club.
Burger King Kids Club,
baby.
They
got BK Kids Club. They're diverse. They got it, well.
Wheels.
That hasn't aged well. But they got Kid Vid, who has awesome, like, you know, he's got cool shades on. He's got the hat. He's got, like, the kicks that look like, you know, Jordans. And I remember being like, you know what? They probably had, like, some cool, you know, toys, because they were doing, you know, probably at that time they were doing the...
It was Nightmare Before Christmas. Shit.
So the toys are rocking, and I'm like, I'm a grown man now. I'm going to get, you know, like a double Whopper or a Whopper, eat like a big boy. I remember, because one of the things when you're a kid and you order that, your parents are like, are you sure? And I remember that, because I'm like, I'm ready. And then that was the same, you know, I went through, like, you know... We're not Jewish, you know, I didn't have a bar mitzvah, but, you know, my meat mitzvah of leveling up my food choices was paired with, oh my goodness, I can't eat this. It's going in the trash because something terrible is happening. And we speeded to the hospital, and there was waiting, and, you know.
Sitting in that hospital with us, because it was just you and me. Mom went in, and it left you and me there. We were just sitting there for a while, and just being like, oh, shit, man.
And then this nurse, I remember, nurse has, like, the, you know, kids are smart. It's like, oh, this nurse has bad news. And they take us back, and, like, mom's face is, like, tears streaming. She has, like, purple, you know, she has, like, purple mascara.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly, probably remember too, what did she turn and say to us through tears?
Daddy didn't make it.
She said, Daddy didn't make it. And then it's like blackout. I don't remember how we got home. I remember waking up and like hearing my mom crying downstairs. And then you just, your kid brain is like, what is that morning after like you? Because me, I was just like, it wasn't real to me. I was like, oh my goodness, maybe this is a dream. I'm in my kid room.
I was just kind of floating for the next few days. And we got to, the thing I do remember from that was like our family came, all the Creases came, Rhonda came, Patty came, and a bunch of people were staying in our house.
Yeah.
And we got to do whatever the fuck we wanted to do. Because I was like, and I took full advantage because I was like, Uncle Phil, drive me and Sean to Pinball Plus. And we were not allowed. This is when Pinball Plus, we were not allowed to go to.
Kids smoke outside there. It's the arcade.
Yeah, the arcade.
It wasn't Edward.
It was by AMC.
Wigan Plaza.
So I got Phil to drive us to Pinball Plus. And I remember Sean and I got accosted by a police officer there. And I pulled the dead dad card immediately.
Oh.
And he let us go.
The DDC. The Dead Dad Club card. DDCC. It's a strange club to be in.
But Sean pulled it.
Of course. He's a good bro. He's like,
hey, let off my friend. His dad died.
But Sean, because Sean's home situation was not great, you know, kids like him knew, like, damn, dude, a good dad.
See, I remember Sean came home with me that, well, I just remember being at the Carrolls and, like, went to the Carrolls. We went to the Carrolls just when you get out of the house, and
it's November, so we're using the pool.
And then like going to Blockbuster and renting whatever we wanted. And
oh, you gotta be careful! There are some landmines. You remember Sandlot?
Yeah.
So like you remember when you rent a movie? Sometimes they had, well, not sometimes, they almost always had previews, trailers, but sometimes they just have commercials. And we rent The Sandlot, which is amazing, a great film, awesome. But
that was one we saw with Dad.
We saw that movie with Dad. It was great. But the commercial on the VCR cassette, do you remember it?
No.
Oh, well, me probably cut it from memory. The commercial was like, I don't know if it was for like Coca-Cola or for just like, but it was a commercial of like a little boy and his dad playing catch.
Fuck.
So we're like, sweet, we got The Sandlot. This movie's great. We turn it on. And I remember sitting on the couch and just, like, bawling to myself because it's like, well, I'll never get to do that again.
Yeah, I remember feeling like that. Like, I was getting ready to learn how to shave and, like, shit like that, and so I didn't have a dad friend. I never learned how to tie a tie.
Yeah, I remember.
I always had to have people tie my ties for me.
When I was applying for a scholarship, and I knew, I was like, academically, but, you know, I think this is one where, like, my... You know, you gotta cash in that DDC.
I got scholarships off the DDC.
And I was like, I think one of the thesis statements was, you know, I had to teach myself how to shave.
Uncle Phil taught me to shave. I remember Phil teaching
at the farm. Uncle Phil stepped up. My brother taught me how to shave.
But, like,
which is ironic, because yesterday I shaved your mustache.
Yeah, you did. Because I'm terrible at cleaning myself up.
We didn't have a dad. It's not our fault.
But I that week, then, and like, so I didn't go to school for like 2 weeks. And I remember the funeral. There's a shit ton of people there. Was it Solana Beach Press?
Oh, when we were packing up your stuff, well, we'll unbox that for the episode, but I found the photocopied book of all the, like, notes that people wrote about Dad at his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are awesome. Some of them are weird. Some of them I couldn't read because it was like Xeroxed and the photocopiers weren't great. But, I mean, and this does get to it, because, like, you had mentioned suicide to Tim.
Yeah.
Already, before this, been medicated, your dad dies. We started going to church again.
Yeah, we'd been going to church, and Mom took us, I remember, like, the day after, or the second day after, we took us to see Jay, our junior high, the junior high youth pastor.
Right, yeah.
And I remember sitting there in his office, and it was in that office where I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
With Jay Shirley there?
Yeah.
He's such a nice surfer.
I just, at the time, I was like, this guy's full of shit.
Ended up being not that great of a guy.
He was all right.
Yeah, he wasn't kind to Mike.
Yeah. Well, they had their stuff.
The inter-political warfare of SoCal warring youth pastors. Anyway, it gets ugly. I mean, I love the young pope for this reason. There's power struggles even at every level of the church, including the middle school, high school power dynamics at Solana Beach Presbyterian Church. It's coming out. But anyway, so you're talking to a youth pastor, and you're thinking about killing yourself again, but you're hanging out with the youth crowd. You know, they're nice kids.
Yeah, I actually made friends for, like, the first time ever.
What kind of a – when did you make these friends? What was that event? Was that, like, a
– Well, we had ice broom ball.
Those are fun.
Overnighters. It was, like, a whole, like, overnight thing.
And we were not a church-going family.
No. And so, well, we went when we were a little younger.
Yeah, we went a little when we were younger. It was great. It was donut holes. Loved it. Sometimes they let you put on armor because they were like, we're talking about David and Goliath. But, you know, we were in and out. For me, you know, in my religion, you know, in my walk, that the timing of going back to church was what I kept going back to. I was like, yeah. We were right before we needed some help. It was like, oh,
there's now some we're help.
And so that was cool.
And they helped us a lot.
But the church is not perfect. but yeah. And so things are getting a little better, but you're still thinking about wanting to kill yourself.
I was like, everything sucks. My dad is gone. And our mom was on this path of, she had just gotten sober.
Yeah.
She was like 90 days sober when dad died.
Right.
I mean, God, like, thank
you. And now she's like 28 years sober.
No. Yeah. Shit. Is it 28 years? Yeah. It's 28 years. 27 years. I can't believe it's that long. Fucking old.
So we didn't have any alcohol in our house for our whole high school, which is a good thing.
That was a very good thing.
Also, Gail worked from home, so I can count the number of days she was, yeah.
But I remember, but she was still gone a lot because she was going to, like, AA meetings and stuff, and, like, yeah. She was very involved in AA.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had a lot of Thanksgivings with the 12 steppers the next few years.
But that was a community that also great. Embraced us.
They were awesome.
And embraced our family and helped our mom a lot. So I have good things to say about the 12-step community.
We're not here to bash the 12-steppers. Well, it depends on which path. Those folks in Gambling Anonymous, fuck them. Don't bet on them. No, but the darkness, even with the light of God showing you the way and being there to catch you, it's no match.
No, it was. I was on a path of. It's like, this is, I don't want to live anymore.
The cold November rain is still giving you the chills.
Yeah, man.
And that brings us to another moment when you're back at Sean Meadows. Ne'er-do-well, has access to friends with throwaway knives, also has access to a Playboy that was like a 50th anniversary Playboy that had like all the greatest hits.
Yeah.
We also, when we were spending that at Sean's, we would hand out the Hitachi. He had a Hitachi, the massager.
Do we have to talk about this shit?
Yes. So it was like, this is middle school. No, I'm in elementary school. It's like, oh, you're spending the night at the Meadows. And it's like, awesome. This dude has a porn. There's boxed wine in the fridge. We get to spend the night sometimes in his parents' bedroom that's a water bed.
Yeah.
This just came through Facebook. We were like,
they had the Nintendo in the parents' room.
Nintendo in the parents' room. And like, there's all those things from your childhood where you think like, oh, these people must be loaded because, you know, they have silverware that matches. Or it's like, yo, these people, they eat at Red Lobster every month. They must be loaded. And it's like, whoa, Sean Meadows' parents have a water bed. They must be loaded. But they also had, Sean also had access to...
handguns.
Handguns. Which brings us to...
I don't think Sean even knows about this.
Well, what? Go for it.
Well, one day I came over to Sean's and I was like, I'm going to use the gun and kill myself. And I was going to do it at Sean's house.
But you didn't tell Sean that.
Nope. Sean was downstairs. I was upstairs. He's
probably building a bomb.
And
he's probably torturing a cat. It's the kind of friends we had.
He never tortured animals. He loves animals.
I'm just kidding.
I don't want to paint the wrong picture.
No, Sean was...
Lee was the psycho.
Lee was the psycho. Sean was like... he was the wingman. He was like the wingman you want who had access to guns and porno. Which was important in the 90s when there wasn't internet.
Yeah. you had to bring up the porn.
Yeah. It's my favorite part of the story. The other parts are quite dark, my friend. That was a great issue of Playboy.
It had the Marilyn Monroe picture. Because it had Vanna White. I remember it had Vanna White.
This is... think about this. This is a magazine that is over 30 years old that we're still talking about. It was great. Kim Basinger was in it?
Yeah. Elvira.
Elvira was in it?
Yeah.
I want to find this again anyway. So you weren't hanging out with Sean on this particular time for... that epic Playboy.
No, I was... I knew where the guns were, and so I grabbed one. And then I was like, oh, shit, I need to write a note.
But you should have grabbed the Playboy. Madonna was in there. Madonna. You remember this? Madonna was in there.
Yeah.
Then you reached for a gun. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, but then I was like, I need to... write a note, and I had my backpack.
One of Sylvester Stallone's ex-wives was in there naked. And you're fumbling around for a note to kill yourself? Why couldn't you just focus on the beautiful womanly figures? I apologize. You were about to kill yourself. Continue.
So I was gonna... and then I was... and I... was, and I found a bunch of pieces of paper, and these were notes that students had written me at school.
So you were scrambling around to write a note before...
need a paper.
Before you shoot yourself.
So I'm fumbling, looking for paper, and I have all these notes in my backpack that I just shoved in there because I didn't want to read them because they were from a bunch of phonies.
Oh, because you get the my sympathy
English,
notes.
It was the sympathy notes from that my notes. English teacher had... I think my English teacher made my entire English class write.
That's how you get good, heartfelt, you know, hey, I want you to feel valued and make force people. But anyway.
But these were from people that had give like that had wronged me. And so I was like, these
did
are...
the guy that pulled a knife on you write you a note?
No.
I don't take it. You said it was honors English. I don't think he was in there. He was a drummer.
But we buried the hatchet, though.
That's good.
Francisco.
Good. Good for Francisco.
So I had these notes and I was like, fuck.
What were you going to write? You're going to write to me?
No, to Mom.
Ah. You're just going to leave me hanging, bro?
Well, it would have been to everybody. I don't know.
Was it going to be inspired by Guns N' Roses?
Probably.
Probably.
But I didn't get that far because I'm going through these notes and... and I'm like, oh, fuck you, like this guy. And then like it was the girls that had been mean to me, or like there was a couple. Like,
did Bianca write you a note?
Nope.
I thought everyone had to.
No, this was eighth grade. She wasn't in my class in eighth grade.
Oh, what would you have done if Bianca wrote you a note?
I don't know.
Framed it.
Well, I don't have... I wish I'd kept them. I kept some of them. I didn't. But then there was one...
What were some of the shitty notes?
Well, it was just like, oh, I'm sorry, your dad died.
That's not shitty.
They weren't shitty. It was just from shitty people.
Oh. Shitty people being nice to you had a trouble with.
Yeah.
Got it.
There weren't any shitty, like, your dad died, you still suck.
I don't know.
No, because it was just, they were just phonies. It was just a phony.
You sound like Holden Caulfield right now, bro. I thought you didn't read that till like ninth grade.
I didn't read that till way later.
Oh, these phonies, man. I just wanted to hang out with a prostitute to talk. Anyway.
But,
One note spoke to you.
One note was, well, it was the only note that had a phone number on it.
Oh, bro, no, getting digits. Ladies, that is why you give teenagers your number. It will save their lives.
But it was from a girl from youth group. And it was just a very kind note. And it was the only one that said stuff like, I don't know what you're going through.
Yeah.
And then it also had a phone number and said, please call me anytime. And so I put down the gun and called the number. And I didn't tell her what I was doing. I was like, I am trying to kill myself.
Good.
No, I was just like, this is Brendan. I got your note. And then she invited me to, they were having Bible study at her house.
And that's how you joined Scientology.
Yeah. No, shit, not Scientology.
Man. I remember.
The Presbyterian Church USA.
This is just a gateway drug to Scientology. What if instead of the note coming from someone from that youth group, what if it was a similarly heartfelt response, but it was for the comic.
Hail Bob.
It was for the Hail Bob. And you joined the Hail Bob.
The Heaven's Gate.
Which was a San Diego phenomenon. I remember there was an alleged Halloween party at that former house. RJ told me about it. I didn't end up going, but anyway. You know that cult. Anyway, you can Google later, but anyway.
The Heaven's Gate house was in Rancho Santa Fe, right by where we lived.
There you go. But fuck, man. So that note changed the course of all our lives.
Yeah. Why did it change the course of your life?
Well, because I wasn't brotherless.
Yeah.
Would you have known how to use the gun?
I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have.
But, man. Fuck, dude.
That used to
be my... I wish you would step back from that ledge,
my
bro.
That was like my testimony.
Yeah, I remember I would hear that story. It's one of Brendo's greatest hits, so it's probably, you know, been touched up over the years.
I've told it in front of, like, hundreds of people.
That doesn't make it more true. But, I mean, these events... I remember hearing, you know, that story and being like, damn, dude, that's such a good story. It should be in, like, Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's like, my brother got Chicken Soup for the Soul. God is real. But, I mean, it's hard to... because, I mean, we've both... spoiler alert, kind of moved on from the church.
Yeah.
But that story of like, well, fuck, man, it's hard to say that this religion is all bullshit because it saved my brother's life.
Yeah.
In the same way that you can make amends with your bullies, in the same way that little delinquents like Sean can be awesome friends, life-saving friends, you know, something like a church can fail you. And it's okay, and there still can be good parts of it. You know what I mean? And I think we have to be okay with, like, people have to be okay with coming to terms with, hey, it's not all bad, right?
You know, yeah, like, for sure.
And even to, like, bring that to, like, you know, like cops. Like, cops are there's a lot of bad parts, but, you know, they were part of this story. You know, there's some things they do serving and protecting that's great, but militarizing is bad. So people need to be able to say, like, hey, you know, things like defund the police. We're not saying, like, get rid of everything. We're not saying the church is all bad, because there are great parts of it. There is, but that's not a reason to keep, you know, to put all of our stock into very fallible institutions and systems that fuck people up. Anyway, I'm done preaching.
We just lost half of our audience.
Well, good. They need to hear that defund the police is a good idea and that you can be mad. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to hijack. But I'm glad. I'm glad the church was there for us.
You were going to church, too.
Bible studies together before podcast together.
Because Dad died, I want to know what this was like for you, because you were in sixth grade.
I was in sixth grade.
But you got to go to the junior high stuff.
That's right.
You were kind of adopted into the junior high group so you could be with me.
Yeah, and the church was there.
So you were hanging out with all the older kids.
And it made me feel weird socially, being like the youngest kid that becomes your identity. It was weird for me being like a ghosty kid. Like, I would be hanging out with like the middle school youth group. But, you know, when you're in middle school, you don't hang out with an elementary school kid. And like, so when people would want to, like, you know, befriend me, I'd be like, oh, you just want to talk to me because you feel sad for me. Or you don't want to talk to me because I'm like this little kid. I'll go talk to the youth minister's like elementary school kid. I was closer with Jay's elementary school age kid than, you know, those folks. And I think socially it was hard for me coming to terms that, you know, we had to stare, you know, a life event that happens for most people. Most people will lose their parent or parents in their lifetime. That should happen. I hope, you know, no one wants to outlive their kid. And so seeing that side of life at that young age, I knew I had like this wisdom that was ahead of the curve.
But you didn't get depressed?
I got sad, but I turned it into, I was sad all the time. Not all the time, but I would think about it a lot. And I know for years, just even bringing it up, I would get tears. You know, I couldn't talk about it. And I didn't mind time, but I knew I would break down. And I was like, you start to question, well, when am I going to get over this? When is it not going to hurt? And I realized that, like, it's always going to hurt. I'm always going to miss my dad. But, you know, I still want to move forward. And in a certain respect, I kind of, especially when I got to middle school, I went to a Christian middle school, I avoided the hells of butt crust. From being like a young, smart, eloquent, churchy kid, you know, in middle school, it became like a superpower. It was like, I can talk about very adult, you know, I could read scriptures and interpret them and share them. And people would be like, oh, look at this good Christian. He suffered. He lost his father and he's doing just fine. And I don't know. Became like a calling card like, you know, he's well adjusted. And so I guess I bought into it. I was like, well, I guess I handled it well. And, you know, it is hard and it's always going to be a part of it. But I knew, you know, even in high school, I had some reasons that weren't benevolent for wanting to take child development twice during my senior year. I was a slacker. Yes. It was an easy A. Yes. There were 38 women and two dudes in the course. Yes. But I also knew, like, well, my dad was rad. I want to be a good dad. So I can get high school credits for, like, hanging out with kids and hanging out with cute girls. I'm going to do it.
They brought kids in for you to play with?
They had a preschool on Torrey Pines campus. It was yeah. But, you know, I got into, you know, I did theater stuff in middle school, and I always thought, you know, this gives me an emotional intelligence. I always knew I wanted to act, and I do act, and I was like, well, now I have like this like life event to draw from. And so I kind of saw it as it gave me a perspective on the world that in a lot of ways was a blessing. And then when I would see my friends have like huge issue, like, I mean, a kid going through puberty, how many friends we see getting to shouting matches or had asshole dads? I was kind of like, oh, my dad got to retire like, you know, fucking goat. He was a great dad. having someone be in your memory almost infallible is a problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, if I get out of it that I had a good dad, I could extrapolate some good life lessons. Our dad would, there's a lot of great qualities I remember. He loved what he did as a work. I could tell he was energized by that. For me, it was like, well, just do something that you love, which is why I ended up being an English and theater major. And even the choices I make now, it's like, you know, life balance is important. Other things, not so much. So I saw a lot of pluses to it.
I wish that I had had dad around for math, because he was an engineer and I suck at math. I didn't get any of the math skills.
I broke down when I was in seventh grade in math class because it was hard, and I was in advanced classes, and I was like, I got a bad grade on a test and I didn't get a lot of bad grades. And I remember crying to the teacher, and it was, God bless her, she was like, it's okay to cry. And I was like, I feel stupid crying because, like, I don't have my father to help me with my homework, and my mom can't. And that sucks. And that's why I married an engineer. So if I die, my beautiful wife, who's an engineer.
She's going to train your kid right.
She can, you know, she can help little Lil out with multivariable calculus. But, you know, I'd also like to teach my daughter how to shave. Because I shaved my legs in elementary school because all my wrestling heroes didn't have body hair. So I got rid of my body hair in like fifth grade.
Really?
Yes. We had hair early, and I don't think all my arm hair required. But yeah.
So, dove headfirst into the church.
We dove. Came out. All right. But, I mean, that was chapter two.
That was chapter two.
That was chapter two. So we're taking a step back from that chapter. Take a look. We didn't get to my poetry.
Yeah, we got to do your poetry.
So my poetry, I don't remember, like, writing, like, poems at that age. So I have to go a little further, but in high school, I was a member of a collective of poets.
Do you have a name?
A collective of poets in the form of a hip-hop rap group.
Oh, shit.
Named the Orange Tang Clan. After the Wu-Tang Clan, not the other clan. We were rappers that rapped about Orange Tang, and we entered, this is my buddy, rest in peace, Judd Wickham. He was a turntablist and DJ, and we were a phenomenon for this Battle of the Bands at Torrey Pines High School in 1999, 2000. It was my senior year. We're going up against, like, in the finals. We beat a band, and then they joined our band. They became our backing band. It was a bunch of us just rapping about Orange Tang. And we got to the finals, and the band that went before us, it was like this, like, prog jazz instrumental group. And the panel of judges gave them a perfect score.
Jeez.
And we're like, fuck, dude, now we gotta go get a perfect score. So we dropped our verse. Our rap song ended with a vat of Orange Tang being poured over me. Because we were like, who are we gonna dump the Orange Tang on? This is our big finale. We put all the stops. We should get Orange Tang. I was like, I'll do it. I'll flop around the Orange Tang. And it was epic. And then the judges pull up their scorecard. First judge, 10. Second judge, 10. Last judge, Miss Salem, who, like, half of us had for English class, 9.
Oh!
She's like, there can't be a tie. I was like, fuck. I am still pissed to this day that the Orange Tang Clan lost to some jazz rock nerds. Because it was epic. And so I do remember.
Who was in the jazz rock band?
I don't know. I don't remember. Kurt. This guy named Kurt. I've mentioned on Facebook, we're Facebook friends. He's like, ha ha ha, we deserve to win. I'm like, you guys didn't even have lyrics. We had like 8 MCs. I was the Misty Orange Killer. I didn't know much about Wu-Tang back in the day, but I do know they had Ghostface Killer. I'm the Misty Orange Killer because I rap about Orange Tang and it's misty and orange. Do you want to hear some of my...
Yes, please.
I will give you a taste of the Orange Tang Clan. Just a taste. Just a little bump. That sweet orange stuff. But you gotta drop me a beat, bro.
I don't know how to do that.
You just go like...
Oh,
Yo, I'm the Misty Orange Killer, the original thriller. My rhymes are larger than Godzilla. That's all I remember. No, there was more. There was what? Like, it was stuff like, oh, I remember I changed tempo one time. I'm not a good rapper. I was totally off. But I remember there was one verse that was like, now in my lifetime, over 1,000 women have given me headaches. When I'm rapping, I don't make mistakes. I put the pedal to the metal, never hit the brakes. If you try to step to me, you will be hurting. I'm going to cleanse you like Clorox bleach on your moldy shower curtain. I'm going to tie you down to an altar and curse you to a hell where there's plenty of Tang but no water. It was great. I was like rapping about Orange Tang, making references to altars and hell and mildew on curtains because something has to rhyme with hurting. That was pretty embarrassing, too.
But you got over.
I got over. How so? What would I get over?
You were pop. You get people liked it.
Yeah, but we didn't win. I was a loser of an MC.
I didn't make it to. I couldn't make it to the finals of Battle of Bands.
You don't think that if you turned your November Rain inspired lyrics into a folk act that you would come victorious?
Here's how much I was known as a depressed kid. We had to do an Edgar Allan Poe project, and I took this poem Edgar Allan Poe wrote called Alone, and Dad drew like a picture of like a guy sitting under a tree. It was like a poster, and I read the poem, and like half the class was like, "Oh, you wrote that?" Like they just assumed I wrote it, because it was like all depressing and sad, and I was like, "No, Edgar Allan Poe wrote that." What?
My bro was so emo, got mistook for Edgar Allan Poe. That's all I got. I will stop rapping in that voice forever.
Well, enough of the dark.
Enough of the dark. Don't we want to end on the light? Don't we have any stories about friends who didn't grow up and stab their parents? Well, before we jump to a little Lyra stuff, I mean, yeah, like, you survived that.
Survived that.
You survived that, but it's not like the depression ends. It doesn't end there.
No.
You survived living in the Tercel. You didn't hop off the
Prius. Tercel. Where'd you get Tercel?
My car was a Tercel. They're both Toyota. Great cars. But, you know, and even now, like, you're here. You're back on meds, but, you know, depression, you're... I thought it was eloquent how we compared it to the Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride. It's like, every day your depression is like, I'm going to kill you today. You go through the day, you survive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to, like, draw it out, but, you know, I just want people to know that, like, it's not like you're cured.
No.
But, like, how in the past week has your Dread Pirates Roberts fucked with you?
I sleep a lot.
Yeah, you do. That's, you know, if you, you know, I mean, plus it's, you know, we can't go outside. There's a fire.
Now we're like really trapped inside because of these fires.
You're sleeping a lot because there's smoke in the house and it's making you.
No, we got a HIPAA filter for the air conditioner, so our air is better.
Its air is better, yeah. My wife, engineer, did it. Really, she called the supply store where they have filters, the hardware store. They were out of filters, sold out, hard to come by. But then I was like, well, why don't you call auto parts place? Because every time I go to Jiffy Lube, they're always shoving a filter in my face. I'm like, no thanks. But I'm like, what if we? And she's like, that's a great idea. So we got a couple HEPA auto filters, put them into our AC unit, recirculate. That's how we're cleaning our air. But you can YouTube it. It's serious. It's on the news, man. You know, you don't want to be breathing air. You can put wet towels under your door if you're in the fire zone.
Someone I saw took a box fan.
That's what you can
do. And
got
an air conditioning filter and put that over the box fan.
But if you cannot find filters because they're selling out, you know, hey, you know, be creative. Go on YouTube, get help. You don't want to be breathing the bad stuff.
Yeah, man, it's freaking. We picked the perfect time to go camping because I don't think we would be. I think our trip would have been canceled. Gone any later.
Well, thank goodness the crash they've got to go camping.
Hey, going camping in this time was a huge thing for my soul.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Just being outside, being around other people and socially distant, safe.
Yeah.
But it
playing
was
cornhole.
playing some cornhole, eating camping food.
Not streaming for a bit. It's good, great, but we're back. We're plugged into the content. What are you watching this week,
bro? This week, well, I wanted to talk about two movies. We've been watching a ton of shit. Finished, we're caught up on The Boys.
I had a boy's nightmare.
Really?
Yeah.
You got killed by Homelander?
Well, I mean, well, it was close. It was like, so we live in a two-bedroom apartment. It's a small place. You know, I got a wife. I got a one-year-old. Now I have a brother. Finding time to be intimate is a challenge. And so in my dream, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to explode. I got to masturbate. But I was like masturbating. I was like, oh, no. Homelander has x-ray vision. He can see through this wall and see me masturbating. And I was like, God. And I woke up with a raging boner and a wife I can't bone because there's a baby and a bro. So, I mean, this is my struggle.
I don't want to hinder you from
getting wet. Anyway, this is not about me and my lack of fucking with my wife. This is about the content that you want to talk about this week.
I want to talk about two movies. The first one, it came out a few weeks ago.
It came out years ago. Stephen King's It. Actually, part two came out recently. Sorry. It's getting late. Getting goofy. We've gone over time.
We're doing good.
We're doing good.
But it's called You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
I shouldn't have spent that much time talking about that Playboy. It was a really good Playboy. Like, I have like a slideshow of all those beautiful women that will never be deleted from my hard drive. Like, I remember there was this like,
well, you were so young, that was like really burnt into your brain.
There was this beautiful black woman who was like doing like a somersault, and it was like that photo where it's like multiple frames of like the same, you know what I mean? What do they do when they slow the aperture, what do they call that?
I don't know.
But it's like, so there's like multiple of her, and they're like, this was actually one of the first times that an African American woman's pubic hair was seen in Playboy. And I was like, bring it. But I'm like so young, I don't even get like real boners yet anyway.
So You Cannot Kill David Arquette is a...
He was not in that Playboy. None of the Arquettes were, which is a bummer because some of them are hotties.
It's a documentary about David Arquette and his pursuit as a wrestler.
We talked about this last week. You're in it.
No, we didn't.
Yes, I said you're in it.
No, we didn't talk about it.
I listened to the episode.
Oh.
Because we mentioned it because I was like, you were in it. What are you credited as?
Did I mention it? Was it one of my things?
Yeah. It's in there.
Well, I thought I didn't talk about it.
Well, it's okay. You might be depressed if you can't remember.
No, my two shows were The Boys and Cobra Kai.
Okay, you got me there, bro. It didn't come up in that segment.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. We get it. You're very stoked that you're in this documentary.
But it's a really good documentary, even if you're not a wrestling fan.
I think it deserves to be plugged every week.
It's a good story. It's the story of a guy just trying to earn respect in a rough business.
This podcast is brought to you by the producers of You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
But it's on streaming, so you should check it out.
Awesome. Well, we don't have to spend a lot of time on that because we did talk about it last week.
And I'm in it.
And you're in it.
And then the other thing is, we watched the other night, we finally watched Bill and Ted Face the Music, and it was great.
You sprung for it. Would you say worth it? Worth the $25?
Well, you did the buy. It's 20 to rent.
But it's like, if it's 20 to rent, and it's like $5 more, you have it? Of course I'm going to get it.
But it was great. I think it was worth it. Because if we had gone to see it in the theater, movie tickets are like $12.
All right, here's my thing. I made the same comment about Cobra Kai. Someone in Hollywood needs to be a specialist in makeup of like, my specialty is I don't make beloved figures from the 80s and 90s look like waxen weirdos when they're in movies
today.
They're
just older.
No, they look weird. They don't look like old normal people. Like, their faces look weird. Like, there's like they're trying to recreate It all goes back to Death Becomes Her. It's like they're putting spray paint. Like they're not using spray. Whatever they're doing, they're trying to like. They're not finding a compromise between our memory, the image of our memory of Bill and Ted or of Zabka from in the translation is they look like Madame Tussauds wax figures come to life, and it's like
I didn't bother me. I didn't notice it.
Maybe I just don't like people aging.
I think aging freaks you out.
No, they're not aging gracefully. It's like
they can't control that.
No, but I mean, yes, they can, because it's like they're trying to make them. You know what I'm trying to say is, it's like you're not letting them be what they look like. You're trying to make old them resemble what you want them to age into. Mm-hmm. But that's not how they aged. Some people age in a completely weird direction. I mean, look how I looked 10 years ago. I've aged in a really weird direction. I have a mullet now, which is weird because I'm also balding.
We also look awesome. The most alike. We've kind of come to the center.
It's weird.
People anyway. Confuse us.
But Bill and Ted's awesome. What are your favorite? Who steals it for you?
The kids were great. And it was cool seeing Death again. I wish I was bummed. The only thing I was bummed about was Station wasn't in it. I like Station.
I'm going to have to revisit Bogus Journey, because in the resurgence of Bill and Ted, it's been a popular take of like, you know what? Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is actually my favorite.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I definitely like it. It's not as good as the first one. Some people like it a lot. I like it. I definitely think it's a good. I enjoy it.
Oh, also, dude, she steals everything. Is I mean, obviously, Kristen Schaal comes in as
Rufus's daughter.
Rufus's daughter, and they even put Rufus in.
Rufus is in it.
So that's great. But yeah, Taya and Billy. They're awesome. I think they do a good job of like, they're like, oh, these are like, even though they're obviously, especially the blonde one, older than their character, they're like, oh, but these are like, they're accomplishing, like, these are what teenagers are kind of like, but they're not making fun of them. They're kind of cool people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like just really into, they're like, they're music core nerds. They're like the, I mean, it's funny, they just made a sitcom or turned to a TV series again. Recently got canceled, but the High Fidelity kind of character that was gender swapped. I mean, that you know, I like that they're giving women the space.
I didn't watch High Fidelity. Was it good?
To be nerdy and cool in their nerddom, not the uncool nerds like you in 1992 that were being bullied and attacked. Mm-hmm. Knives were drawn. Crazy. That was good.
Did you watch High Fidelity?
I watched a little bit of it, yeah.
Was it good?
Of course.
I haven't watched it. Maybe I should watch that.
I've already seen some of it. This has been canceled, so why? Who cares?
I just really enjoyed that. Is such a positive message. It's a great counter to all the shit in 2020.
It is. It is a good breath of fresh air. Not necessarily a breath of fresh air, but something that I've enjoyed watching is the... Ooh, I think there's a new episode today. The mini-series documentary The Vow on HBO.
It's been crazy
because it's about that weird,
well, you may have heard,
secret sex cult that at the top of it from the news. I remember hearing about this. This is what got me. I was like, wait, they're doing a long form documentary on that weird sex cult that girl from Smallville was at the head of.
Yeah, where like Allison Mack.
Women were like branding each other, and there was like this weird guru who was like also at the, you know, probably it was crazy, but.
So if you want to know what that's all about, watch The Vow.
No, but it's crazy because I was dating somebody who, for a birthday one year, I was like, hey, you're 30. Here is a coupon to a personal effectiveness seminar that has really helped me. And also, if you don't go, we may have to break up. And I was like, what? And it was like this like secular, like, it reminded me of going to a youth group Christian camp. But it was like secular, like
it was like that thing on 6 Feet Under, like
yes,
where it's just Tony Robbins.
You like, you know, look people in the eyes. We did do that, like sensory deprivation, like, you know, in meditation. At the end of the weekend, I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should smoke less pot and really focus in on getting a better job. And then like you're like, whoa, shit! 6 months later, like I smoked less pot. I'm in a better place. This stuff's great. And then you go back, and there's like a couple. So I'm wondering, like. we didn't survive. Our relationship didn't survive. We never got to, like, the couples retreat. But I'm wondering, like, is there a weird sex cult at the head of that pyramid? So, whew, it's bringing, it's triggering. And I like it. It's well done. Documentary. And I think it's a story that needs to be told, because this reminds me of, like, Left Behind, or, like, that first scene after the vanishing in the Avengers, where, like, the world's going to get somewhere closer back to normal after 2020, right?
Yeah.
People are going to be seeking counsel and help, and that's where these fuckers thrive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So be careful.
Watch out for cults.
Yeah, so and this is great because it breaks down their tricks, and, like, it goes through the people that were victims of the cult talking about, you know, how they ended up with a brand. Like, this one woman, it was heartbreaking. She's like, I have to tell my husband that I have this cult leader's initials by my vagina.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, ugh.
Woo! We got some listener mail. We
got some listener mail. Great way to land this plane.
You can, if you want to send us listener mail, it's brendoman@gmail.com, or go to radiobrendo.com and click the contact button. There's a, you can also message us on Facebook. Just go to our Facebook page.
Yeah, good luck finding me. It's Randy Two Tone.
But you can message Radio Brendo Man. I mean, but our friend of the show and friend, J.R. Eves.
J.R., my Eskimo brother. Yep, we lost our V card to the same lady. And I apologize to that person 1,000 times over for being a shitty person.
All right, then. He has, when you tried to kill yourself or go through your plan, did you find little synchronicities or a higher power stopping you or throwing a little monkey wrench in your program along the way?
Yeah, weren't you listening, JR? It was a note that threw a wrench into his plan.
Well, there were, like, I mean, people could say it's a higher power. I don't lean that way. I mean, I did.
I think there's a benevolence that kept you here.
I don't know, man. I've never felt so absent of that than when I was about to do it.
How do you feel about it now? Can you look back and be like, oh, well, maybe there was a current, a force.
I think that was the perseverance of human spirit. I mean, that because that was other people.
It was just your genetic code being like, we haven't spread ourselves yet.
I don't know. I mean, there could be something more out there, but.
You think it was the midichlorians?
Yeah, for sure.
The Jedi genes? Keeping you alive?
I mean, I don't want to close my mind to anything.
No. And
but I definitely,
your mind's still here.
I mean, there was definitely stuff going on.
That's a great question though, JR. Good question.
But I don't really believe in a higher power.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to break any hearts here.
We don't have to believe in a higher power to, doesn't, you know, the story of, like, and then I didn't kill myself and take my life, and that's where I found my faith, whether it's a faith in God or a faith in the life force that binds us or a faith in that one actress from Smallville sex cult.
I would like to say I have a faith in humanity because of everything that happened.
Humanity, not person kind. Sorry, it's not necessary. What about the humanity kept you going?
Well, the love of everybody. I mean, like, people's love for me and for life
is what pulled you back.
And also that people's actions, like, I'll drop the name here, Sherry, writing that letter.
Yeah, I mean, it was important because she could have gone the route of, she could have half-assed it. And think about her. Putting her numbers out, giving it to a boy in her class, that's a risk. But that's a risk that I know her. She is a sensitive person with a huge heart. So she probably saw from afar the hurt and was like, you know what? I don't put my phone number on notes to all the boys in Arzana's class, but this person maybe needs it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people that were sharing the missing person, you know, it was like, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, but this is, you know, the humanity, the people, the interconnectedness, they found you, they brought you back. And I would also like to mention that the missing person report didn't do shit. It only complicated things. The systems that we have a lot of faith in this instance, you know, the police department and multiple departments, they were nothing but frustration working with and trying to find you. But it was your community, humanity, womanity, zoomanity saved you. I think that's cool. Real fast, Rad Dad, Bad Dad this week?
Yeah. Real fast, I just love how you take Lil on these little adventures that you go on. You have, like, places, you have your places you go. You take her to the park to look at the geese.
Geese, as she says.
And I just, because you take her out to help, especially right now, because both you and your wife are working from home, and it gets kind of stressful. So to ease that stress, you take Lil on these little adventures. And it's just really cool to see your bond. You also have a really cool paladin carrier for her. She sits
Make
high on your
way
shoulders.
For Prince Lily.
And
Prince Lily.
I've seen people stop you on the street saying how cool it is.
Yeah, I get catcalled in that all the time. All the time. Little Avengers. Bad Dad. Bad Dad. I bought my daughter a Happy Meal, and she's not even 1.5 years old. I know, I didn't let her eat it. I ate it. I'm not going to let her eat that garbage. But she's going through a dinosaur phase, and they got me. They're having a Cretaceous park.
She loves dinosaurs, but she's also kind of scared of them.
So, well, I mean, she's scared of the electronic one that lived in your dark room. Yeah, but she's going to – we named that electronic radio-controlled Velociraptor Argyle because he was a Christmas gift, and Argyle is from the best Christmas movie of all time.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, the limo driver in Argyle. So, yeah, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get her, because she's been unicorns, I can only do so much. So I'm getting her into dinos, and I apologize. But I didn't let her eat it. That was quite an episode. Chapter 2 in the books.
Chapter 2 done.
Chapter 3 next week. Chapter 3. Boxing Day. We're coming back. We're leaving the 90s. We're coming back to 2020. And boom. You know, what was it like getting packed up, leaving the desert, literally driving past California on fire? We're going to spend some time there next week. Tune in. Love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
I love you, bro.
I love you, bro.
I love you, bro.
I love you, bro.
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 Love you, bro. Nailed it.